Hi, I want to welcome you to the Barnabas Ministry Spiritual Recovery audio series. And this is a series of messages that I'm going to have on here that are really designed to help us recover from bad church experiences. And if you think about it, you know, many of us have had many different church experiences. We may have had some from when we grew up or from different parts of our lives, different ages, etc. You know, some of these have been good and some have been bad, and I think if we sit back and think about each of them for a minute, we'll realize that there was some good and bad in both. And it's kind of interesting these days, churches have a tendency to look for what they call the unchurched. And they're looking for unchurched people, people who aren't involved in churches, and they want to try to target them and find ways to bring them into their church. But it's interesting, a lot of people, the problem is not that they're unchurched. The problem is that they're churched. And they need a way to deal with those past experiences. And if the experience was good, there's a certain amount of sadness that people may feel, and they'll think, well, gee, how could I ever have a decent church experience someplace else? Because they're going to compare whatever is in the future to what they've had in the past. And if the past was a bad experience, it can be so strong, so traumatizing even. How can they even want to go to another church being concerned that the same kind of things are going to happen there? And so people that have had bad church experiences, how can they understand it? How can they heal? How can they recover from it? Well, and this class is going to primarily focus on people with bad church experiences, with hurtful experiences. And if the experience wasn't good in a lot of ways, the hurts wouldn't matter so much. So, you know, if you went into a church and it was just a total zero from start to finish, you'd leave and it might not hurt all that much. But really where I'm focusing this series of lessons is on people that have been involved in a particular church or maybe more than one church for a significant period of time and have put a significant investment of their lives into it, and then somehow, some way, they've had to leave. And the resulting pain and needs that come from that. So we're going to talk about those in this series. I want to use an analogy here for a minute to try to help us get our hands on this dynamic. Imagine the church as a bucket. And of course, a bucket has a big hole at the top where the water comes in. And for most churches, they have a kind of a hole in the top too where the people come in. And the people come in based on their own needs, and they're hopeful that this will be a good experience, that they'll be able to connect with God and connect with other people that have similar faith in them, find a way to grow, find a way to use their gifts, and to have some sense of meaning and some sense of belonging in this congregation. So people come in hopeful for all these sorts of things. Now, from the church's point of view, they have this big pole at the top of the bucket, and they're investing in outreach. They're investing in trying to find ways to bring people in. They may have special programs. Their members are inviting people to church. They're praying, God, help us find the people that you want us to have to bring here that we can help them. And so everybody's got a kind of a big investment in what's going on at the top of the bucket of the church. And that's where a lot of the attention comes in. How much is coming in? How can we bring people in? What can we do to get them in? Let's do things that don't irritate people. Let's make the building as attractive as possible. Let's make the services attractive. Let's make everything as attractive as we possibly can to try to get people into the top of our bucket. And so that's where churches are at with this. Now, when people leave, where are they going? Well, imagine your bucket has a little hole in the bottom. And maybe it's a big hole. Maybe it's a little hole. But a lot of us have buckets that have holes in the bottom, and you're out there washing the car, and there's water dripping out of the bottom of the bucket. If you had a hole in the bucket that was so big that it wouldn't hold water for a very long period of time, you'd just throw it away and get a new bucket. But churches are like that, too. They have a hole in their bucket. And for all the people that are coming in the top of the bucket, there's people going out the bottom of the bucket. And typically, people aren't focused a whole lot on that. For the people that are leaving through the bottom of the bucket, they can be spiritually tired or damaged. They can be disconnected, estranged, discouraged. Their faith can be damaged. They can be thinking, well, gee, now what? Now what do I do? And all those hopes and desires that they had when they began that church experience look very different on when they leave. And depending on the circumstances, they can be very painful, very bewildering. And from the church's point of view, they're thinking, well, gee, we're working hard to bring people into the church, and we're doing all the outreach, and we're investing in programs and things to make it attractive. How come people are leaving? What happened? And unfortunately, what I think a lot of churches are doing today is they think, well, gee, we just got to go find more people because we want our bucket full. We're here to build our bucket and make our bucket full. So we just go look for more people. And so what happens is you end up with this steady stream of people coming in and people going out. And the people that go out are just replaced by people that come back in again. And so the bucket stays at kind of a constant size, or maybe it grows a little bit. And what can happen is churches can think, well, gee, we've grown. We've increased the number of people in our bucket, so things must be going well. But if you're not looking at what's going out of the bucket, there's a problem here. Let me address this a little bit. I was a member of a large, fast-growing church for many years. And one of the things that I had access to, and we had data about how many people were baptized and how many people left that church. And over 13 years, let me give you the numbers that we had. There were 3,044 people that were baptized over 13 years. But also over those 13 years, 2,410 people left. And so on one hand, you could say, well, there was more than 600 growth. 3,000 some baptized, 2,400 left. There were 600 more people. So, hey, this is a growing church. This is a great place to be. It's growing, right? Well, let me bring up another couple points here that maybe need some attention. Did you know that there's, for every member that's retained, there are four members that left? This church was making ex-members four times faster than they were making members. Yeah, think about that. And these members, again, these ex-members are discouraged, hurt. People leave churches for all kinds of reasons. And I'm not saying that, hey, every single person that leaves a church is leaving for a really good reason or because something went bad or in the experience. A lot of times people leave because they just don't want to be faithful. Sure, that's going to happen. But you can't ignore that there's a lot of people walking in the door with the same hopes and something doesn't work right. Now, another way to look at this is for anybody who's in the church at any given point in time, there's an 80% chance that that person could become an ex-member someday. And that's kind of a staggering thing. I mean, I just stand up there in front of the church talking to the congregation and thinking, well, gee, four out of five of the people I'm talking to now won't be here at any given point in time in the future. That's really scary. That's kind of sobering. And even think of it this way, 4 out of the 5 people coming in the top of the bucket are going to leave through the bottom of the bucket someday. And again, you're looking at a dynamic that's really kind of scary. So if you're looking at just your net growth, it's a very deceptive number on the health of a church. Now let's look at something that Jesus said in Luke 15, in verse 4. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Well, people are measuring churches by their size or by their growth, but Jesus is not measuring his flock by its size. He sees the individuals in that flock. And there's something very telling about the way he tells this parable. he would even say, I'm going to leave those 99 to go find that one. The individual sheep matter to Jesus. It's not just the one, not just the 99. It's not just the size of the crowd. It's not just how big the flock is. And this is, it's kind of interesting that Jesus had a 99-to-1 keep ratio, if you want to look at it that way, and he still went after the one that strayed. Imagine if the keep ratio in the story was 4-to-1, or 1-to-4, rather, you know, which is what we're talking about in some of these other situations. But even with just one sheep out of 100 that went stray, that was so important. You see, Jesus cares about the individual people. Churches that get caught up in their numbers and their growth, and if as long as there's more people coming in than there are going out, we're happy. There's something really disconnected from Jesus about that way of doing church. That's just the bottom line. And churches, and I'm not saying all churches have this problem. I haven't been to all churches. I have no way of knowing. But if a church is focused on growth or size alone and not about individual people, there's something really wrong. It's very disconnected from Jesus. And if church leadership is focused on the people, it's interesting that the people will know that when they're having a problem, that they matter. A lot of times what happens with people that leave church is they ultimately feel like they don't matter anymore. And how sad is that? How different is that compared to this parable that Jesus told about the shepherd and how the one sheep really matters? Now, I'm not trying to be mean here, but individual sheep have stopped mattering in some churches. And the mentality of the membership and the leadership is, well, if you don't like it, leave. This is the way we are. This is what we are. We can't make everybody happy. If you're not happy here, leave. And, you know, a little bit of that is probably not terribly unreasonable. Because, yeah, not every church is going to make every single person happy in every single area. But what's happened is churches have turned into these little franchises of ways of doing things, and they get crystallized, and they become more about who they are than about their sheep. And, you know, the sad thing is for these people that leave, the ex-members, they were once family, they once belonged, they were invested, they were involved, and now it's all gone. And this series is really about helping those lost sheep, just the sheep that have left. And now we're dealing with this whole situation and trying to put their spiritual lives back together. Well, there's a lot of different aspects to the issue that we're going to talk about through this series. We're going to talk about our own spiritual lives. We're going to talk about our expectations. We'll talk about the limitations of churches. We're going to talk about how things always change, how we change and churches change. And managing and understanding change is an important part of understanding our church experiences. As an example, something that we'll look at more later, when Israel first went to Egypt, it was Jacob and his descendants. It started out as a very good experience. They went there because there was food, if you remember the story, and there had been a famine. Well, Joseph was in Egypt, and he had been able to store up their crops and ultimately was able to provide a place for the rest of his family to do well. And the Israelites did very well in Egypt for a long time. But what happened is over time, things changed, and the experience turned out to be very bad. And so even in something like that, you see how it starts out great, it ends up bad, and something changes along the way. And it's important to try to understand these changes. And really, that story of Israel and Egypt is an excellent story to learn about the stuff we're going to talk about in this series. Now, the objective of spiritual recovery, at least for where I'm going to try to take these messages, the point isn't to convert you to anything. And the point is not to demonize anybody. So if you're looking for either of those two things, you're probably not going to get that here. But the objective here is to help you to understand and to heal from bad church experiences. That's the objective. And we're going to use the Bible, but I'm also going to use some other spiritual books and even secular studies from things that I've read along the way as I've gone through this. And you may say, well, why are you going outside of the Bible? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, all truth is of God. God didn't have to write a lot about gravity and math in the Bible because it was pretty evident. Okay, so there's still truth that's not in the Bible that relates to matters that concern us, and we're going to see truth. And if, you know, truth has a way of self-authenticating itself. If that's a redundancy, I guess. But truth authenticates itself. And so when you see these ideas presented, you can just evaluate, well, is this true or not? You know, is gravity true? Well, yeah, okay. Well, let's move on. Let's not get hung up on where we learned about that from. Some of these things are just self-evident. The other part of this is a lot of people have been mistreated with the Bible. The Bible has been used to pound them, to abuse them, to control them, to really hurt them. And that's not really what the Bible was intended for. And so for some people that have really struggled with the Bible, I want to be very careful how we use the Bible in this series. I believe that the messages are consistent with the Bible, but I also want to be careful that people have been hurt. And if you've been hurt with that, hopefully this won't be a hurtful thing for you to go through and to listen to these messages. But I know that other people are going to want to say, well, gee, what does the Bible say about this? And so I'm going to try to meet both types of needs in this series as we go through this. But where we're going to go, I'm going to go through some of the other topics that we'll have later on, and we'll get these messages out on the website as I have opportunity to put them out there. We're going to talk about our spiritual life cycle, something that I call the critical journey. We're going to talk about the whole dynamic of loss and church experiences. We're going to talk about biblical interpretation and bad church experiences, a great lesson looking forward to doing. We're going to talk about the whole idea of leadership and influence and group dynamics, how it is that we come to be persuaded to do things in a church setting. We're going to talk about understanding how churches work these days and maybe how they've worked in historical times and how this contributes to the problem that we're facing here with spiritual recovery. We're going to talk about how we manage disagreements in churches, a huge issue. We'll talk about the whole concept of spiritual abuse. What is spiritual abuse? Have I been a victim of it? Have I perpetrated spiritual abuse? Is there a way to have a bad church experience without spiritual abuse? Those kind of questions. Now, we'll look at church splits and blow-ups, and unfortunately those things happen, but we're going to have to talk about that. We'll spend some time talking about Egypt. We'll actually go through the story of Exodus and look at some of the points that we can make about the spiritual recovery from that story. It's really a fascinating study. And we'll talk about a couple of other aspects before we wrap it up. Some people may just feel like, I just can't do church anymore. I love God. I want to be a Christian, but I'm having a real trouble doing church right now. And we'll talk about that and maybe solutions that we can find to that kind of an issue. And ultimately, we'll talk about how do you grow from your bad church experiences? How do you let something that's been bad in your life become a force for good? Because ultimately, that's where recovery lives. Anytime we go through something bad in our lives, There's a pain that we go through. There's all kinds of different processes, and we'll talk about that in the next lesson, actually, on loss. But ultimately, we recover. That doesn't mean that the loss never happened, or we forget about it, or we stop caring about the thing that we lost, but it really means that we grow to the point where we're at a different point, and we've incorporated that. And we'll talk about more when we get into that particular lesson. But I want to wrap this one up at this point and encourage you to look at the other lessons and listen to the other lessons, and hopefully these will be a great blessing to you as we go through this series. So thanks for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.